We are joined now in the studio by Mark Dorison, who is the chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners and the managing attorney for the UNC Center for Civil Rights, both of which are highly relevant this week and next. How are you?
Oh, I couldn't be any better. How are you?
We're pretty good because we're inside right now. There's bad lightning outside.
Yeah,
so
it's pretty...
It's real bad.
It's very bad, but it's, you know, given what we've seen in Texas this week, you know, it sort of gives you a little perspective. Mm-hmm. It's been raining hard here for an hour. Think about it, raining hard for...
Like several days and worse, So what can we do here locally to help out the relief effort in Texas?
Well, there's a whole bunch of campaigns going on to raise funds. There's a bunch of different Kickstarter and GoFundMe campaigns. There are a number of real good grassroots groups that are doing, you know, that are on the ground there, that are doing work to really direct resources to communities in need. You know, there have been a lot of folks talking about wanting to gather goods and materials, but everything that we've been hearing is that because of the difficulty of getting stuff there, of distribution, it's more useful for folks to donate funds to these organizations that are there, that have the networks in place to prioritize particular needs and to get them to the areas where there is the highest need.
Yeah. So speaking with Mark Dorison and that's going on, obviously we've got the rain hitting us right now, which is remnants from Hurricane Harvey, and as bad as it is out there right now, this is just like a tiny portion of what they got in Texas, unfortunately. I suppose the good thing for the demonstrators who decided to stop their 24/7 sit-in at Silent Sam for the weekend is that they don't have to deal with this rain. They do have to deal with some pretty significant legal issues now because UNC police went and confiscated some of their stuff and took down the sign. So what are, and putting on the Center for Civil Rights hat now and speaking as a civil rights lawyer, what are the legal issues here? Who is in the right? Who is in the wrong? What can students do? What can the UNC police do in terms of enforcing the policies they have on the ground?
I think there's a lot of questions about the university's decision to confiscate, and from what I understand...
We're about to get interrupted by National Weather Service update, so let's hang on a second.
Okay.
Okay, so that's updating the severe thunderstorm warning until 6:45 for Harnett, Wake, and Johnston County, and adding Durham County now as the system that we're seeing here in Orange County is heading into Durham and strengthening. So be careful out there in Orange County as well. Still haven't gotten any severe thunderstorm warnings for Orange, but the rain's really coming down here in Chapel Hill. So even though there's no official warnings, do be careful, and especially in Durham and Wake County too. Speaking with Mark Dorison, and again the legal issues around the protests.
Yeah, I just want to say on that, I wonder if they did some testing on human subjects to determine that warning sound that they play for the weather is
the most annoying warning sound in the world. Yes.
It's sort of
they
instinctively
watched Dumb and Dumber and then just cranked it up a little bit more, right?
It just instinctively sets your teeth on edge and makes your stomach clench. I don't know, But the question you asked about the university's decision to remove the signs, to remove everything from around Silent Sam, you know, presents, I think, some real interesting legal questions. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the policy that my understanding the policy that's been relied upon is prohibition on, you know, hanging things from university buildings. It's the same policy they cited in taking down several banners from the Campus Y. But I think that moving in and taking everything away and, again, confiscating and, I believe, you know, either destroying or throwing away signs and other things, I think that was an overreach of the policy. I think that's a far and significant overreach. And there are some real concerns about whether that is an encroachment on the students' First Amendment rights.
And the one thing that I was saying earlier this afternoon is the argument that was made by UNC, and you can take this with as many or as few grains of salt as you want, is, well, we've got this policy, we're just enforcing it, we're not trying to say anything pro or con, we're just enforcing this written down policy. But there's a fine line between what's allowed and what's not. There's a gray area. There are judgment calls that can be made, and these are judgment calls that are being made. And regardless of whether you think this is an appropriate decision by campus police to make or not, they should at least own the fact that they are making judgments here.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point, Aaron, and they should own that. And I think they also have to own the fact that the optics of this, right? Lots of people believe that this decision was made, that this interpretation of the policy was applied because there's a football game on Saturday, right, and there's going to be lots of alumni on campus, and that the university's interest is not in so much in enforcing the policy, but in dampening down the image that there is this, you know, that this protest going on, and they need to own that as well.
The kids from Berkeley are showing up, and they are just not used to that at all.
That's right. That's right.
Of all the schools, that if that's the rationale, but I mean, what this underscores is the fact that these are really, really difficult questions, and these are questions that involve civil liberties. These are questions that involve freedom of speech. These are questions that involve civil rights, and all of this is happening, and the extent to which, like, we really need to have serious conversations with people in the know about issues like civil liberties and civil rights. And it's a very ironic coincidence that this is happening the week before the Board of Governors is meeting to potentially vote down the Center for Civil Rights on campus.
You raise a good point, and I think one of the challenges we face, you know, civil rights advocates and social justice advocates generally, is the attempt to decontextualize whatever the particular struggle that's going on at the moment is. And so when you take this issue, there were signs at a campus site, and the policy says you shouldn't have them. Again, it completely decontextualizes why those signs were there, why students were camped out there, what the protests over the last, you know, several weeks and even the last several years around Silent Sam and issues of the university's ability to deal with the legacy of race discrimination. Mm-hmm. You know, it just removes all of that from the conversation. And if you say, well, you know, we're just enforcing the policy and we're not, you know, we're not looking behind it, or we're not looking at the implications, or we're not looking. I mean, this isn't just picking up, you know, a random piece of paper or things that were left on campus, right? That this is part and parcel of the debate that's going on about Silent Sam, about racial inclusion on campus, and part of that is the debate about the Center for Civil Rights.
Yeah, and I was just reading, again, pure coincidence, is just on the stack of books that I have to read, Alchemy of Race and Rights by Patricia Williams, which is written almost 30 years ago now, and it could have been written last week with all of the issues that she's touching on. And her big overarching point is that in that book is people are situated. They make decisions in terms of their situation in society and their situations with regard to relationships with each other. And when the law comes in and treats people sort of facelessly, namelessly, it ignores the extent to which people are situated and avoids making decisions on that basis to the detriment of everyone involved, while simultaneously the people who are making those decisions, who say, oh, we're being faceless and nameless and we're just applying the law equally, are human beings who are making decisions based on their own situations and not acknowledging that and not owning that either. And both of those facets make for some really problematic outcomes when it comes to the law.
That's right. And it also, again, it really has the power to either obscure or obfuscate or create, you know, the opportunity for pretextual justifications of actions that get taken. You know, one of my issues that I've been raising around the Board of Governors' consideration of whether the Center for Civil Rights should be able to continue to do advocacy, is that what none of the Board of Governors members have talked about at any time is the people that the Center for Civil Rights represents, you know, the people in these communities, right? The question of whether the civil rights should be able to represent communities is not an abstract or an academic one.
Yes.
It's one that's based on, you know, trying to assist communities that are on the ground fighting the struggle against, you know, racial disparities in education, in access to housing, in access to employment, in environmental justice, in places all around the state. And if you sat and listened to the Board of Governors' discussion about the Center for Civil Rights, you wouldn't know anything about any of those folks. Mm-hmm. And you know, I would argue that the same institutional discrimination that has marginalized their interests for decades is marginalizing their interests in the debate about whether this university has a role or responsibility in addressing that legacy.
This is the only radio news program in America where we can do traffic and weather updates and a thunderstorm warning with bad traffic out there, and also intersperse that with high-level conversations about law, civil rights, communication, and justice with two professors at UNC. I love this, but I mean, unfortunately, it underscores just how serious these issues are, and the people who are in charge of making the decisions are not treating them as seriously as they should. Speaking with Mark Dorison, again, managing attorney for the Center for Civil Rights and chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, getting to that in just a second, but what do people need to know about the sort of the last week before the run-up to the Board of Governors vote? How can people speak out on behalf of the center or just in general about this issue? What do people need to know and do?
Well, supporters of the center have organized a week of action in solidarity with the center. Starting Monday, we're asking folks to call on or email members of the Board of Governors to vote down the advocacy ban. They can tweet, send letters to the editor using the hashtag Defend Civil Rights. On Thursday, the 7th, there's going to be another rally and march. There was one yesterday on campus. There'll be another one. It's going to start at 3:30 at the South Building. There's going to be a few folks talking there. Then we're going to walk to Silent Sam. There'll be a few more folks talking there briefly. And then we're going to walk to President Spelling's house and finish there. So that's going to be from 3:30 to 4:30 on Thursday. And then the board meets on Friday morning. The doors open at 8:45 at the Center for School Leadership Development, which is by the Friday Center. And we're just asking as many folks as are able to come out and to bear witness.
How important is the big presence on Friday?
I think it's incredibly important. I think that, you know, I think the Board of Governors, the proponents of this policy are really pushing the idea that this is, you know, not a major thing, that it doesn't, you know, that it doesn't really impact students, that it doesn't really impact the university, that that they consider it a tweaking their general policies. And as I said, they really seem to be determined to read away the real implications of what's happening.
Do you see any members of the board, and I don't know how much you speak directly to them or not, or how much they're weighing in public, but do you see them changing their tone, changing their tenor, changing their minds in the midst of the controversy over Silent Sam and Confederate monuments? Charlottesville, Durham, all of this that's happened in the last few weeks?
I would hope that was the case. Mm-hmm. I'd like to believe that they are, you know, engaged and conscientious about what's swirling around them and how the Center for Civil Rights is part of that picture. But although I am ordinarily an optimistic person, I'm not sanguine about any minds being changed.
Speaking with Mark Dorison, let's move to county commissioners stuff, because you've got a meeting coming up on Tuesday, first one back after the summer. Sportsplex is having a groundbreaking next week, and there's other meetings coming up. What do people need to know about the next couple of weeks for Orange County?
Well, we're getting started. We're leaping right into it. That's right. There's going to be a groundbreaking before our meeting on Tuesday. There's going to be a groundbreaking at the Sportsplex for an expansion that they're going to do, which is very exciting. That has been a real incredible success story for the county, a really incredible partnership. And there's another interesting component of that. There's a house that is on a piece of the property that the Sportsplex is going to be expanding to that we're working to pick up and move and make into affordable housing. That I think Empowerment has a lot that we're going to be able to move the house to. So we're going to see the expansion of the Sportsplex, and we're going to see some affordable housing come out of that. That's very exciting. There's a number of interesting things, you know, on the, you know, coming up in the first couple of meetings. We're going to be talking about, there's a discussion with Chapel Hill about they would like to expand their extraterritorial jurisdiction. That'll be an interesting discussion, you know, related to the Chapel Hill Operations Center and the future Millhouse Road Park up there, and hopefully they'll, you know, the development of soccer fields there. There's some continuing discussion about finalizing the agreements with Hillsborough over the Hillsborough Economic Development District, which is the one that encompasses the intersection of I-40 and Old 86. And we're really looking forward to see that, you know, to see that moving forward. And then, you know, a little further along in the future, you know, we're going to be talking about the implementation of the first rounds of the school bond projects, mm-hmm. which we're looking forward to as well.
Very cool. Again, orangecountync.gov. If you want more information about the county, agendas are being posted for some of those meetings, again, beginning next week, Tuesday. But mark your calendars for Friday as well. And if you want to support the Center for Civil Rights, 8:45, doors open at the Center for School Leadership
Development. That's right. The board meeting starts at 9, and they let us in at 8:45.
So. All right. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
Always great to see you, Aaron. Thank you.